This podcast is a Majestic Giraffe production. For more information and more content, visit majesticgiraffe.com.
But I was going into Tosche Station to pick up some power converters.
Droids are clean, the vaporizers are patched, and the speeders fuel. It's time to pick up some blue milk and power converters. You're listening to Tosche Station Radio, brought to you by the Majestic Giraffe Network. Now here are your hosts for the Snarkiest Podcast in Star Wars and Geek Culture, Brian and Nancy.
From the outskirts of Anchorhead and on the shores of the Great Chott Flats, you're listening to Tosche Station Radio, the bright center in the universe for all things Star Wars and geek culture. I'm your host, Brian, and with me, as always, is my co-host and wife, Nancy.
Hi!
On today's episode, we're joined by Amy Ratcliffe and Bria to ask the age-old question, where's Hera? We're about to get started, so sit back, grab some power converters, and enjoy the show. We'll say up front, we recorded our discussion with Bria and Amy earlier this week, so we're splicing it into what we're recording right now. So this is going to be doubly in the past later. I don't know. It's all wibbly wobbly.
And timey-wimey.
And a note from our sponsors. Tosche Station Radio was brought to you in part by Her Universe and Audible.com. Audible.com. Listeners to this podcast can get a free audiobook by signing up for a free trial. Click the link on Tosche-Station.net for more details.
And we're also brought to you in part by Her Universe. Flaunt your world with Star Wars, Star Trek, Marvel, Transformers, Doctor Who, and other fandom-inspired wardrobe and jewelry. Click the link on our blog to purchase awesome geek gear and keep the lights running on the podcast.
Hooray! So, what's new on the blog since we last got together not very long ago?
You reviewed Idiot's Array in a live tweet-style review, and that's about it.
Sorry, everyone. That's what happens when you record a podcast late in the week and then record another one soon after.
Yes.
Whoops.
And we had a lot of stuff on the last podcast.
We did have a lot of stuff on the last podcast.
Go read it.
Yes. Check it all out. I guess that brings us over to Fixtures Flash, the geeky things we've been up to.
Well, we've been still watching Agent Carter. And we need to watch the third episode or the second episode or whatever it is.
We need to get caught up on Agent Carter is what you're trying to say.
Yes. But we really liked the first episode that was on. It was really good. I've been brainstorming my next book and probably won't start writing it soon though because I have to edit my last book, which is going to be so much fun. I'm saying that sarcastically. And I might have to read a comic.
Because Bria got you one of the variant Marvel Star Wars ones.
Yeah, she got me one of the variants with Luke on it for my birthday.
She knows right how to get to your heart.
Yeah, she does. Did I mention it was my birthday?
It was your birthday.
And we went to dinner with Chippendale.
We're going to clarify that those are the anthropomorphic chipmunks
that are adorable. But yeah. And that was for me. What about you?
I'll be honest, it's sports balls for the last few weeks and for the next several.
Oh, did something recently happen in the sports balls?
Nothing big. I mean, my Seahawks just completed a historic comeback in the NFC Championship game to get themselves back into the Super Bowl. That's it. No biggie.
Is that it?
That's all.
That it?
That's it. yeah, I haven't been up to much. Mostly sports. We'll get back to me doing geeky things after sports. Hey, it's time for Deke's Dirt News from Around Fandom, and we're starting with a whole bunch of Star Wars games. You like Star Wars games? You like classic LucasArts titles? Well, you're going to want to head over to good old games, GOG.com, because they have unleashed nine titles into their library, not new games. Among them, X-Wing versus TIE Fighter, X-Wing Alliance, let's see, Star Wars Rebellion, Star Wars Battlegrounds, and Dark Forces Rogue Squadron 3D. And there's a couple others out there to check out, but they're online, they're DRM free, and they're cheap, so you should go pick some up.
Yay! Before we go on, people in the chat are saying we're quiet.
We're quiet?
We're quiet.
We're quiet? That's probably because I have the wrong input selected. I'm sorry, I'm going to restart the stream.
Oh.
So I can...
Does that affect the recording?
No, the recording's fine because the recording is using the correct input.
That's good. That means we don't have to do this all over again.
That is good. We don't have to do that all over again.
We are professional podcasters.
We are professionals. And that was a thoroughly entertaining 45 seconds of killing time while I got the chat up and running again. You're welcome, listeners at home.
Oh, so yes, am I going to see, why am I even talking to you? Why are you not playing all these games?
Because I haven't dumped money on them yet.
Oh, but you still have the game you bought last time.
TIE Fighter, yes.
Yeah. Are you ever going to play that?
Yes.
Okay, just wondering.
Yeah, I'll play it.
Okay.
And where does that bring us to in the news?
Well, we have some Celebration news. If you are going to Celebration, if you're not, you should be because it's awesome. But they will be screening the Navajo version of A New Hope. So that would be kind of interesting. I think it was recently that it was translated into Navajo, and that would be kind of neat to see. And also they're bringing back speed dating. If you, are interested in meeting.
Here comes no, speed stop. Dating.
Stop. It's stop.
Dating stop. On speed.
No, it's not. So if you're interested in meeting some, like-minded Star Wars fan, check that out. They have, hetero and LGBT speed dating.
So prop Mary Franklin and the Celebration team for including LGBT speed dating.
Yes. Awesome. And they're also bringing back the Tattoo Pavilion. So if you want to get a Star Wars tattoo, save up your money and get one at Celebration.
You gotta ink your fandom.
I have.
I won't.
Nope. I'm done.
I'm not getting ink.
Yeah, I'm done. Hopefully we'll be getting some more Celebration news. We should be getting a lot.
We're getting close to the time where the deluge,
yes,
of Celebration news
and
hits the wild.
And then about a week or two before Celebration, the panel schedule will go online and everyone will be printing out spreadsheets and highlighting things and checking the app over and over to make sure that it's on. And then, yeah,
that's coming up with game plans.
That's my favorite. Yeah. It's my favorite time.
It's the most wonderful time of Celebration, yes, when the panel schedule drops.
Because it's not like, okay, at Dragon Con, it's bad enough because you've got like, sometimes you get like five things going on at the same time you want to do. But at Celebration, it's all Star Wars.
So you want to do all the things that are happening concurrently, but you can't do them because you don't have a time turner.
Yeah, and not only that, but...
I mixed my fandoms there.
You did, but you have all the other stuff that's continuous, like the 501st room and the R2 builders room and the dealer room. And if you want to go walk around the art show, if you want to get autographs, if you want to observe or participate in the Tattoo Pavilion, if you want to just walk around and take pictures and look at cosplay, you gotta work that into everything that's going on. And you're like, you think, oh, I'll just do that during my downtime. There is no downtime.
The downtime is after the convention ends for the day, and then that goes to meetups.
Yeah, and then and the dealer room isn't open then.
Nope.
So,
prepare yourselves.
Yeah, I have to force myself not to go to panels to let myself go to the dealer room because, yeah, it's fun. But that's a good part about Celebration is even if you're not going to panels at the moment and you're just hanging out with people, you still feel like it's successful.
I'm really wondering what the attendance numbers are going to be. I think the last... I didn't see official numbers for
Celebration
6. It was like in the 30s. 35, 36, I think I saw. And I'm hearing some rumblings from the likes of like Steve Sansweet that this could be the biggest event that's crammed into the Anaheim Convention Center.
It'll be interesting, that's for sure. But Sarah in the chat mentioned that one of the things about Dragon Con is that it's in so many different hotels now that a lot of the times your decisions on what panel you're going to go to is whether what hotel it's in. So, like, if you're at the Hilton and the panel you want to go to is in the Westin, and you're like, I don't want to walk all the way over there. But Celebration, it's all in one convention center. However, though, I will say that the Orange County Convention Center was very wide. So there were some times when I wanted to go from, like, the main stage to, I think it was, like, I can't remember what the name of the room was, but it was where the writing workshops were. And it was, like, a 10-minute walk. And I was like, okay, it'll be fine. It's inside. And like the Orange County Convention Center had the upstairs part so you could get away from like the crowds. But still, it was like, I don't want to walk all the way over there. Yeah. Yeah.
So. Bring your walking shoes to Celebration.
I know. It's good. I'm going to be interested to check and see how many steps I walk.
We're getting close to the time of the year where every other podcast we do is going to be about Celebration.
It's so exciting.
I know. And I love that we now have people staying with us, and we're now coordinating getting them into the same airport.
Yep.
So we can carpool with them to our hotel.
Yes.
That'll be fun. Mm-hmm. Where does that take us now? That takes us to Strange Magic coming out this week.
Yes.
If that's your thing.
If you are, if you want to see George Lucas's latest movie, meaning he thought of it, I don't think he was involved other than that. It comes out this week, and the reviews are not good, judging by the cringe Brian just made.
Yeah, I just pulled it up on Rotten Tomatoes. It's sitting at 15% right now.
Oh dear. Let's not talk about that movie. Let's talk about episode 7.
Yes. Off to episode 7.
Yeah.
It's time for Big's Bag of Crap.
What?
Big's Bag of Crap. Episode 7, news, rumors, speculation.
Okay.
And not just episode 7, standalone movies. There are casting rumors that hit the interwebs this week.
So apparently people rumored about being up for roles in the standalone are Rooney Mara, Kate Mara, Felicity Jones, and Tatiana Maslany. I would like to note that these are ladies, so A+. But as I said on Twitter earlier today, I cannot let myself get excited about standalone news or even care about standalone news or rumors until they tell us what the standalone movie is going to be about. Hint, hint, nudge, nudge. Lucasfilm.
When is the first standalone movie due out?
December 2016.
Meanwhile, we know every Marvel film up until, 2020?
They're supposed to be starting to film this movie soon.
This seems weird to me.
Like,
I mean, even weirder than all of the Episode 7 secrecy.
I can understand them not telling us much about, like, what it's about as far as spoilers go or, like, plot details even. But just saying, like, who it's about. If it's true it's going to be an origin story, they could at least say it's going to be Han Solo or whatever. Or if it's not, they can be like, it's going to be this. Just say what it's going to be about. But then again, we still don't know what episode 7 is going to be about. So why am I expecting
them? I know you're going
to. Why am I expecting them to tell us the subject of a movie before I want to go see it?
I know that you're going to make a lot of money just because you're slapping Star Wars on the title, but I think even if you're Star Wars, you have to do a little marketing.
Yeah, I mean, it's a Star Wars movie. Okay, what's it about? Like, yeah. I'm just wondering if it's going to get to the point where, like, how I felt about the EU, where at first, like, I wanted everything, every book that would ever come out. And then after a while, I got picky and choosy and was like, I don't want to read about Boba Fett, or I don't want to read about X-Wing pilots, even though I was wrong, and didn't read them. I'm wondering now if all the movies that are going to come out, I'm going to be like, I don't want to see that standalone. And that's how it becomes. It's the new expanded universe, the standalone films.
That's blasphemy to certain people to say that, Nancy.
I don't care. It's all expanded universe now.
Oh, boy. And that brings us to our next point.
Yeah.
George says Disney went their own way with episode 7.
No. Really? Were we surprised by this?
I mean, that was this week's first thing of controversy. George, in an interview with Cinema Blend, said that he gave his own treatment and thoughts and ideas to Disney, but Disney wanted to do their own thing. First off, the person least upset that Disney did their own thing, George Lucas.
Yeah, he's just kind of like, oh, yeah, whatever.
Oh, well, you know, I gave Disney a treatment, but they decided to do their own thing with it.
Which is their right, because they bought Star Wars from him, and he no longer owns Star Wars.
So, yeah, I mean,
they can do whatever they want.
Okay, take George Lucas out of it. I imagine most treatments in Hollywood either get tossed entirely or are heavily modified and don't resemble the initial treatment by the time filming starts.
Yeah.
So it's a total non-story.
Yeah. Yeah, it's... I mean, I don't expect them to have not taken anything that he said and used it. I mean, look at Rebels. They're using every bit of scrap Ralph McQuarrie ever produced. As far as concept art goes. And it's great. You know, there's nothing wrong with that. It's fabulous that they're reusing all these ideas. And I'm sure that, you know, The Force Awakens is going to be doing stuff like that too, whether it's McQuarrie or just say, oh, well, let's look at this, you know, the original screenplay for George Lucas and so-and-so's name was Starkiller. Let's use that, you know? So, I can see them being like, oh, well, George had this idea. That's kind of neat. Then let's do this with it. Which is basically how, like, Empire Strikes Back and Return of the Jedi were written anyway.
You know, I really want to see Marvel do a comic based on the Bracket Empire screenplay.
That would be really interesting.
That'd be really cool.
Yeah. So, chill out, everyone. I'm sure it'll be fine. I don't think George needs you to be indignant on his behalf. And, you know, on the contrary, I don't think they threw out everything he gave them. So,
treatments are treatments. They get modified.
Mm-hmm.
No need to freak out over this.
I mean, like, Michael Arndt wrote a script, and then they revised it. So that's what should happen in movies. And when it doesn't happen in movies, you get things like your main lady character losing the will to live. And I'm saying that because there's a fan theory gaining some traction lately. That's not what happened. And that's not what happened in the movie. I shake my head.
I'm sorry. We get back to that thing where I get really bothered when people twist themselves into knots using in-universe stuff to try and explain away problematic real-life stuff.
Yeah. You mean problematic real-life stuff like lady characters not being treated fairly?
Yes, exactly like lady characters not being treated fairly, which brings us into our pre-recorded segment.
Did you like that segment?
I did like that. That was very good. High five. High five. That was good. Yes, our pre-recorded segment featuring Amy Ratcliffe and band leader Bria. I need to get her a business cards that say that. Band leader Bria. We're talking Where's Hera? As you know, she's missing on merch. Mm-hmm. So sit tight. You're going to hear that pre-recorded segment now, and we'll catch you on the other side for another rant from Nancy and I. Because we have something else to rant about, thanks to the news this week.
Yep.
Catch you on the other side.
Bye. Hey, everyone. We're here with our Max Weinberg, Bria.
Hey, everyone.
And also Amy Radcliffe.
Hello.
And we are here to talk about feminism in Star Wars. I know you are very shocked. Specifically, the newly coined hashtag, Where's Hera? Because if you've missed it, you may have missed Hera from Star Wars merchandise. And we're not happy about that. So Bria and Amy wrote about this recently, and Bria, why don't you just go ahead and start and tell us what you found and what you discussed in your article, and then we'll head to Amy.
Well, it basically started with me getting angry on Twitter, as so many things do, and then it turned into Amy also getting angry on Twitter, and both of us going, let's write things. But basically, I was going around to a lot of stores one weekend, and completely by accident, ended up in, I think, three different stores where they were selling Rebels gear. And Hera was nowhere to be found. I ended up looking at a calendar. There was a pajama set in the Disney store. And then I was in a fabric store where only Hera was on one of the pieces and not at all on the second one. But Ezra was on there twice for some reason. And it just seemed to be very indicative of the Rebels merchandise that has been available. You just, sometimes you see Sabine, sometimes, which is sad to say we're happy when we see Sabine. It's like, oh, look, they got one of them. But more often than not, you don't see Hera. And that is a problem.
And when Sabine shows up, how often is she helmeted? So it kind of masks.
About half and half, actually. About half and half.
So you've discovered a little bit of a dearth of Hera and to an extent Sabine in merch in your travels.
Indeed.
So Amy, go ahead and discuss what you talked about in your article.
I had noticed the same stuff as Bria, and mine started a little bit before Christmas in the Disney store, and they only had two Rebel shirts. And I don't think neither of them had Sabine or Hera. It was Ezra, and one shirt, I think, just had like the Inquisitor and then like all the dudes from Ghost. But what really like hit me was a few days later, or I guess it was right after Christmas, but my fiance's godson got a Star Wars Commander set, and he was like setting them all up. He's like very particular about how he arranges his toys. So he was putting all the bad guys together and all the people from Ghost together, and everybody was there except Hera. And it just didn't, I'm like, why? It just didn't make any sense. Like, I don't understand the exclusionary aspect of it. Like, I'm like you guys, like, I'm glad we're at that place where I'm like, oh, well, we got Sabine. Like, thank goodness there's one girl. But it almost bothers me more that they put together the group and include Sabine and leave out one person, and they, you know, and it happens to be the other female. That almost bothers me more than not having them there at all. I don't know why, but it just nobody should put Hera in a corner, basically.
That's and the thing about setting up the action figures is a good point, because when the prequels were coming out, I kind of got back into getting action figures, and I didn't collect them all, but I, you know, I definitely wanted to have all of the characters that I liked, and I wanted to have all of the Jedi and like most of the people on the Jedi Council. So I ended up getting a lot of the female action figures, and I'd get mad when they didn't have certain action figures because I wanted to have my, you know, complete Jedi Council set. Thankfully, they had most of the action figures back then, but, you know, there were definitely some that were missing, and to have someone like Hera missing seems really stupid, because how can you have the crew when you don't have the pilot? And, you know,
exactly,
it's her ship.
We just saw Kanan.
It is so her ship.
Kanan can't fly it.
It's like selling a Serenity set without Mal Reynolds. How does it work?
Exactly. That's
they would never do that because Mal's a guy.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, thank you, Amy. We now have this week's podcast title. It's going to be Nobody Puts Hera in a Corner.
Thank you, Dirty Dancing.
Yeah. So, as always, when we talk about these issues, we tend to get, you know, a lot of reactions. Some that are mostly positive and, you know, say, yeah, this is not cool. And what do we have to do to get them to give us, you know, female merchandise? But then we get some people who aren't so happy we're talking about this. Some people who just get angry. And let's not talk about those people because, you know, they don't know anything. But the people who say things like, well, let's let the free market decide. Or, well, they're just playing to their market. Or, female action figures don't sell. Those are the things that get us really angry because they're not true. So, Bria, I'll start with you. If you could say anything to these people, you know, basically go ahead and rant and explain why they're wrong.
Can I have the one F-bomb of the show?
You get the one F-bomb of the show.
What would I like to say to them? Shut the fuck up. I noticed, because I made the horrible mistake of reading the comments on Amy's article. I should have known better, but I read them anyways. I will say that they were more, there was more positive responses than I thought. However, every time I see a response that says, oh, well, you know, no one ever buys the female action figures, or I always just see tons of slave Leias like getting dusty in the corner, like clearly no one wants to buy these things. How can we be given the opportunity to buy something that doesn't exist? Number one. And number two, have they ever considered that maybe the reason we don't buy slave Leia action figures is because we don't appreciate the slave Leia outfit? No? Has that not occurred to anyone? Apparently not. But yes, I just want people to shut up and maybe listen and stop coming at things from the irritating dude bro mentality.
Yeah, the one about, well, maybe people just don't buy those action figures, that one always annoys me because it's creating a self-fulfilling prophecy. You're not girls don't buy female action figures because they don't exist, because girls, and so girls don't buy them. It's just like a circle. And like, yeah, sure, people don't buy as many female action figures because there aren't as many of them.
It's worse than a circle. It's a null value. There's no data to be gleaned when you're not putting out anything to buy.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And I noticed actually one of the days when I was in the comic store and I started going on a rant about it to one of my LCS guys, is that there was a Kanan figure in there. And I was like, oh, I kind of want to buy this. Flip it over. And this is all labeled as Rebels, mind you. And I don't know the series because I'm not that into collecting toys. But I looked at it and you can get Luke Skywalker. You can get a Stormtrooper. You can get Ezra. You can get Obi-Wan. But you can't get Sabine or Hera in a Rebels line of toys. Does that seem right to you?
No.
Makes me sad. They're part of the group. Like, it's just like, I don't, ugh. And with the, you know, people complaining about boys don't play with female toys, these toys, which drives me nuts, and these toys don't sell. It's like, well, until you, like, produce them in equal numbers to your male figures, like, how can, like, you know, you guys said, there's no science behind it. You're just throwing out words because you don't want to make female figures, is what it sounds like. And
yeah,
I would love to know, because I will give props where props are due. The Big Hero 6 action figures, those displays I've seen, they include everybody. Yeah,
every single set I've seen includes all of the characters.
Which crazy! It's a group of it's a movie about a group, and they include the whole group.
Mm-hmm.
Mind blowing. But I'd be really, really curious to see the not that that's really indicative of a whole, but I think that's one of the few instances where we have fair representation.
Yeah, and it's not just about toys or action figures. I think a lot of people, you know, focus on that just because that's a standout, is that there's no, you know, Hera action figure, which is kind of ridiculous. But it's not just about toys or anything like that. It's about all the merchandise and, like, you know, from the fabric that Bria found to that one stupid shirt they'd sell at Target, which I would buy because I could fit into the, you know, extra large boy sweatshirt and it's cute, but I won't because it doesn't have the girls on it and therefore I refuse to wear it.
And going back to the point, the whole let the free market decide or let the data speak for itself argument, the data is only useful if the data contains valid inputs. So if you're throwing in data that isn't factoring in that the few female toys you have don't receive the same amount of marketing, or you have no female merch for people to buy, then you're not getting any useful information out of it. From a data analytics perspective, it's garbage in, garbage out. It doesn't tell you anything useful.
Mm-hmm. And what kills me is that I ended up getting Disney's media press release back when they first came out with the Rebels merchandise. And when the girl sent it to me, she was highlighting the fact that there were female products in there. And they even ended up sending me, full disclosure, they sent me a Hera phone case and a Sabine t-shirt. And I remember looking at it and being like, oh, like the press release, oh, this is really cool. Oh, look, there's even a Sabine costume. But then when Amy and I were talking about this the other day on Twitter, Amy went and checked the Disney store. We found what, one Hera option, was it, in the entire store?
Yeah, and that was only because it was a make your own design.
Yes. Yeah. And for every other character in the make your own designs, they at least have two, I think it might have been three options. And they appear in the group shots.
Hmm. Yeah. And also petition to remove that promo shot from existence. Yay,
oh,
yay.
I hate that promo shot so much.
That was the one that was on a shirt at Star Wars Weekends, and at first I really liked it, and then I saw that Hera was in on the shirt, and I said, no.
Like, Sabine's not in it either.
Yeah. Yeah.
What the?
Yeah.
It's for anyone who can't actually read our minds, we're talking about there's a promo shot that has Zeb in the middle, and then Kanan on one side, and Ezra on the other. Mm-hmm. And that's it. That's the promo shot.
And that stupid promo shot gets used over and over
everywhere.
And over.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So moving on to just the fact that it's not just about, you know, the toys. It's about all the merchandise. But it's not just about that a character from Rebels is not featured in the merchandise. People don't understand that it's indicative of a larger problem when it comes to entertainment. And Amy, you wrote about the whole issue with Gamora from the Guardians of the Galaxy merchandise, and the same thing happened with her as we're seeing now. And it's leading a lot of people to wonder, what's going to happen in December? Are we going to have to do a Where's Rey campaign? Because it's looking...
Yeah, it doesn't look good. Mm-hmm. Like, there's not a good track record. And it already looks like, you know, when some pictures leaked, I'm trying to look them up now because I don't remember 100%, but I think pictures leaked from Age of Ultron and there's no Black Widow toys. I mean, pictures of toys.
I'm just like, are you... Scarlet Witch?
I don't remember. I don't think either of them.
Oh, fantastic.
I'm trying to find the post. But I'm just like, are you kidding me? Like, why doesn't... Like, I don't understand what it takes to get through or what it's going to take to change it. Otherwise, I think you're right, Nancy. We will get to December and there'll be Finn and Poe Dameron and everybody, BB-8 all over the place, and no Rey.
Which will be really interesting, especially if she's the main character, as people are speculating.
I will flip so many tables if there is not Ray's stuff out there.
The infuriating thing is there's plenty of precedence for toy manufacturers ignoring their lead female character. Did Legend of Korra get any Korra figures that were easily accessible?
I don't think Legend of Korra got any figures, period, actually.
Well, going back to Avatar: The Last Airbender, how hard was it to get a female figurine of one of the female characters that were every bit as important to the show?
Yeah,
and I think it just leads to a whole endless cycle of diminishing the value of female characters in general, because they're saying, oh, we're marketing to our audience, which is, you know, either young boys or 18 to 35 year old males. And it's frustrating because they're insinuating that and assuming that women don't like the same sort of entertainment, which is, you know, blatantly false, as we all prove here. But also the fact that you're saying that these characters don't matter, you know, that, and even if a male doesn't want to buy a Hera action figure, well, what if a girl wants to buy one? Why should their money not matter just as much? I think it's safe to say that between all three of us and Brian too, we've bought our fair share of Her Universe merchandise. Which always makes me wonder, like, the whole, if you want to go according to stereotypes, that, you know, why is it the stereotype girls don't like sci-fi and nerdy things? That's the one that people glom onto, and not the whole women like to shop and buy things. Because I like to buy lots of things. Like, today I was at Disney.
All the things.
Today I was at Disney and they have a new Haunted Mansion store. And I was like, I want to buy every single thing in this store. And as problematic as Disney is with, you know, marketing stuff to boys and stuff to girls, they have totally embraced, like, their older female market. And they have, you know, scarves and wallets and purses and shoes. And they're just like, you want Disney stuff, here you go, have it all.
Didn't they, like, weren't they coming out with some sort of limited Dooney and Burke Star Wars print bag or something?
Yes, that was for Run Disney, their Run Disney event this weekend. They have Dooney and Burke bags for Disney, and this one I saw today that I loved was a special, like, limited edition Haunted Mansion bag that is $248. And I'm sure a lot of people have bought it. And
they made an Avengers one for the Run Disney Avengers, and I was really tempted by that one.
Yeah. And, like, you know, Run Disney events are very popular with both men and women. And they have special events that are geared for women, like the Princess Marathons. And they sell so much stuff because they're like, all right, we're doing a Run Disney event. We're going to do all this merchandise for it, and we think people will buy it. And that's why it's baffling when it comes to things like Star Wars. They don't just go hog wild with all of the merchandise. Like, they do it with everything else except for these things that they want to be marketed toward little boys and have it be their boy franchise. And God forbid they see women walking around with a Star Wars scarf, you know. That might be terrible.
And I just can't wrap my head around the logic of this, because they worry that if boys see girls like Star Wars, some boys may be turned off to Star Wars. What is the percentage of their male audience do they think they would lose if they acknowledged girls like Star Wars too? They've got to, for some reason in their heads, they got to be thinking it's this massive market share loss, when it couldn't possibly be a statistically sizable number.
No, actually, let me put it this way. How many nerds out there do you think are absolute completists when it comes to action figures?
A lot of them.
And how many, exactly. And how many do you think would go, if there was Hera and Sabine figures available for all, however many different kinds of series of action figures there are, how many do you think would go, oh, I don't want to buy the Hera because she's a girl?
No,
they'd
be wanting
none of them.
I mean, exactly. Look at how many variants of Star Wars 1 Marvel put out.
3 million.
So obviously, you know, collectors are a big part of Star Wars fandom. They're going to want to buy every single version of every single action figure that they put out, whether it be female, male, droid, whatever. And going back to what you said, Brian, about what do they think the market share is going to be? Like, you've been to Star Wars weekends. You know how many people are there. Like, it's evenly split. You go to Celebration, it's evenly split, men and women and kids. And I don't know about Amy and Bria, but I know there's been times when, like, you meet, like, little kids that like Star Wars, especially little boys, and they find out that you like Star Wars, and they suddenly think that you are the coolest person to ever exist. And they want to talk to you about it, and they're like, oh, blah, 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 Star Wars, blah, 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 let's play the action figures.
So the operative word here is opportunity cost.
Yeah.
So they're so worried about losing this statistically tiny market share that they're ignoring this giant market that could also be just flinging money at them. It's really stupid.
Mm-hmm.
It's extra frustrating because if any company, I've ranted about this before, but if any company has the money, you know, a big enough, deep enough wallet to take a risk and just leave the four boys or four girls part off and just sell toys and market them to everybody, like, Disney's not a tiny company. Like, Hasbro's not a tiny company. Like, why not try to make a change instead of continuing to, you know, contribute to this toy gender-based marketing blah that just bullcrap.
And
it makes me so angry that I get incoherent.
And Disney is a company that, in their corporate structure, they do a lot of really, really progressive things, except for their marketing sphere.
Mm-hmm. And the one kind of bummer thing that Amy and I noticed was that the two Rebels products that are available right now from her universe are both Sabine.
Yeah.
You can't get a Hera shirt even from her universe yet, which really, really sucks. But
I'm really looking forward to Celebration, you know, for, because obviously there's going to be more Her Universe stuff, and I'm hoping there's a lot more Rebel stuff. I think Ashley said there is going to be more Rebel stuff, but that'll be, I hope there's Hera stuff. I hope there's shirts with just Hera and Sabine and none of the men.
Yes.
And you'll hear people complaining about it, and we'll be like, oh, does that hurt your feelings? We're too bad.
Oh no, I'm sorry. You only have the entirety of the geek fashion sphere to cater to you. I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
Actually, I started doing a little bit more research, and this was like from 2 hours of digging through Amazon and everything. And anything that I could even find Hera on can fit in like half a page of one Word document.
Oh God. That's
so depressing.
Yeah.
That is so depressing. It's so depressing, especially because, like, the first book that came out in the new Star Wars canon, you know, had Hera on the cover of it. Then,
yeah, I found 15 piece things you can get.
Yeah.
Well, it's such, like, a contradiction because they go out of their way, like, when Rebels was, you know, announced, and they didn't announce it in the right way, but the group is diverse. Like, they did, like, thumbs up. You did a good job. And I just feel like by just all the missteps they made with Rebels merchandising, that they kind of tear that down a little bit. And it's like, we have these two great, well-written female characters, but we don't care enough about them to give you merchandise.
It's Young Justice all over again.
Oh, no.
Oh, I've just been watching that. I'm watching that for the first time, and I'm already like, where can I buy my Miss Martian toy? Tom's like, you can't. So I'm like, but I need it.
And then they canceled the show because too many girls were watching. Ugh. I mean, as far as Rebels goes, I thought we fought this battle in the summer. Like, I thought we did that thing where we went, okay, well, why don't you have any girl action figures in the front? And then finally they sort of did the panicked, oh, look, see, we have them. They're in the next wave. We're all good. It's okay. I thought things were fine. And then, nope.
Mm-hmm. Well, the exact same thing keeps happening every single time that they get some pushback saying, guys, what gives? You've got these female characters here. You're not doing anything with them in marketing or merchandise. Then it's, oh, no, just be patient. It's coming. We promise. It happens every time.
Yeah.
Oh, and I don't want to be patient. Like, I want it now. Like, I mean, let's be honest. No,
you're not a Jedi, Amy.
Well, but like 5 million white dudes don't have to be patient or mm-hmm. not even white dudes in this case. 500 dudes don't have to be patient to get their toys. They're the first ones made. I don't mm-hmm. like, I don't want you to pat me on the head and tell me to wait.
No. And can we make a point that
Be a terrible Jedi.
Me too.
We have a bookshelf that's full of Star Wars books and action figures, and they're all mine. I think I purchased mostly all of them. I think the only ones that Brian either picked out were ones that he picked out after we started dating and we, you know, were at a con together and buying action figures together. And I had a lot more action figures that I ended up getting rid of before I moved. So to the people who say girls don't buy action figures, you are incorrect. another thing I wanted to mention was that, you know, like we said, it's more than just Star Wars. It's, you know, with Guardians of the Galaxy, it's with young, you know, Avatar, all the franchises that people want to market as, and I'm using air quotes, for boys. When we get a story or a piece of merchandise for a female character, it seems like we're expected to, you know, watch that show or buy that t-shirt or, you know, buy that toy. And like you said before, what if we don't want to buy the Slave Leias because we don't want to have the Slave Leia action figure? And I'm reminded of everyone talking about, you know, Agent Carter and how great that show is and how please watch that show and tell people to watch that show and, you know, talk about how much you like it so we can maybe get more of it. And, you know, not picking on Agent Carter because I like that show and I do want there to be more of it. But let's say it wasn't that great of a show and people didn't watch it and people didn't talk about it. Then they'd be like, oh, well, shows about women don't do well. We can't make any more of them. Sometimes I feel if I say I don't like a female character or like, for example, they do have Hera and Sabine action figures, but they're in two packs with a stormtrooper. I don't want to buy a two pack with Hera and a stormtrooper or Sabine and a stormtrooper for more money just to get two of the action figures that I want. I want them in a single pack by themselves. And someone, a random person on the internet, claimed that that meant it seemed like they were insinuating that I wasn't being a good fan and that I needed to go and buy it to support those action figures and prove that people will buy them. And I was like, look, dude, do I need to go in there and count how many female action figures I have on my shelf? Some of whom with characters that don't even have any words in the movies and characters I don't necessarily even like just because I could have a female action figure. I just really dislike that whole idea that we have to support everything.
Well, you're held to a different standard.
Yeah. Because, you know, if I don't like a guy character, that doesn't mean that guy characters aren't good. You know, if a male superhero movie bombs, oh well, they'll just make another. If Captain Marvel bombs, they're never going to make
We're
a movie.
Screwed.
Yeah, they're never going to make a movie with another. Like, there was a movie a few years ago with Sandra Bullock and Melissa McCarthy. And I felt like I should go see that movie because it starred two female actresses. And I didn't want to go see that movie. It had held no interest to me. So I was like, I feel like I'm being a bad woman by not going to see it. And I hate that. I hate that we feel that way and that. That's what, you know, society says. So
I had that exact same problem with Lucy last summer because mm-hmm. I was sitting there and I was like, do I go with my, do I either be a bad person of color or do I be a bad woman and see the film or not see the film? Because I wasn't a fan of like, of how Asians were being portrayed in that. Mm. So I was like, well, but if it bombs, am I saying no to females? And I just sort of dug my head in the sand.
That's going to be the problem that I'm going to have with that Ghost in the Shell adaptation if it ever gets made.
Oh, dear.
Do I go see this movie that's got a pretty cool female lead, or do I not go see the movie because it whitewashed the living daylights out of it?
Yeah.
That's a good point. Yeah, it's like I have, you know, I was really annoyed when, you know, that person insinuated I needed to buy the action figures to prove they could sell, because not that long before that, I bought a Bastila Shan action figure at Disney because I felt like I needed it because it was a female character, B, an EU character. And I'm like, I'm not even that big of a fan of the character. I mean, I think she's cool, but it's not, I would be like, oh my God, yeah, I have to have that. I was like, oh, cool, a Bastila Shan action figure, I'll buy that. So I'm like, don't tell me that I have to buy everything with a female character on it to prove that they will sell. That's it's wrong.
Yeah, it's a lot of pressure we don't need.
Yeah. And like, that's why reasons I'm so glad that I actually really like Agent Carter, because I can go on and like scream about it. And, you know, like there's some shirts of her universe that I don't necessarily like, but I still go on and I'm like, this is a great clothing line and you should support it and blah, blah, blah. I don't like Mara Jade in the cat suit, but I have 3 Mara Jade t-shirts. 2 of them have her on the cat suit. Why did I buy them? Because they were Mara Jade shirts and I felt like I needed to.
Yeah.
So yeah. That was a rant, but that's what happens when we talk about feminism and Star Wars. So Brian, I don't know if you knew this.
Oh, get a fire away.
But you are a man.
I am indeed.
Now, when you were a wee lad and you were playing playing with toys, you know, if someone had bought you a toy, you know, a female character, you know, would you have been like, ew, cooties, I'm not playing with this?
Probably, because that had been ingrained in me through society and various entertainment mediums.
You're supposed to say no.
I grew up.
But that's a good, no, that is a good point, though, because I think a lot of the pressure, a lot of the standards that people put on kids is from adults and not kids. Like, if you put kids in a toy store that is not like half pink and half blue and you're like, go find a cool toy, you know, they'd be like, oh, and like a boy might go and find a doll, or a girl might go and find a truck, or vice versa, whatever, but you can go buy whatever you want. I'm reminded of the episode of Friends when Ross's son liked to play with a Barbie doll, and he was like, no, give me back the Barbie doll. Don't you want to play with the truck? You know, and it's, you know, everyone laughed and it's funny, but I'm like, this just proves that Ross is the worst, because who cares if your kid wants to play with a doll? He's 2.
I will say in the comments. Oops, sorry. Go ahead, Amy.
Oh, related to the comments, when I see the people that are like, you know, my kids, like, they don't, my boys don't wear shirts with girls in them, or boys don't wear shirts with girls on them. And I'm like, well, that's unfortunate.
Aren't you entirely
for your children,
in charge of their wardrobe?
Yeah, like, you can help them realize that's okay. Like, you're not being a good example.
I will say, though, about the comments is I did see a lot of dads who were saying, well, I want to get these, you know, I want to get something for my son or my daughter or whatever, they're small kids, but, you know, they want the whole crew. And the kids are the ones who are actively wanting the whole crew, and they're like, well, why can't we get it for them? So, I mean, there is a need and a desire for it, and from the parents, too. So,
and I've seen a lot of men, you know, grown men who are saying they are annoyed they can't find just a plain old single action figure with Hera. You know, they want the crew of the Ghost. You know, they want, and Big Hero 6 has the figures individually, but they also have a pack with all of them. And they don't have something like that for Rebels, and it seems like a very missed opportunity that you can't just go on Amazon and click buy the crew of the Ghost. Oh, and here's the ship too. You can buy that because people would. I mean, they've had exclusive figures at Celebration that sell out immediately that are, female characters. They had the Jaina and the Mara, those figures, and no one ever said, oh, people aren't going to buy them. Of course they are. They're collectors, and that's what collectors do. They collect things.
I mean, and let's be clear, the gendering of these toys, it's totally an artificial construct.
Yeah.
There's no need to do it, and it's something that adults have imposed on kids.
Yeah. I mean, they have, there's Star Wars clothes that are specifically for women and men, and, that's fine because, generally you wear different clothes because your bodies are different. But, a little 5-year-old kid, why does one shirt have to be pink and have, only the girl characters on it, but the, boy's shirt has to be blue and be really bold and have ships on it? And I'm reminded of a friend who said their little boy was bullied at school because he was wearing a Frozen shirt. And that was really upsetting. And the shirt had Sven and Olaf on it. And they still said, oh, that shirt's for girls.
That's so stupid.
Just think about where they're learning that. I mean, it's so frustrating.
Learning it from their parents because they don't want them to wear shirts with girls on them.
I learned it from you, Dad. I learned it from you.
That's why I'm just always so glad. On Saturday, I worked an event, a Star Wars launch party, and I was there as Leia. And I was really, really happy to see all the parents who brought in their little kids, especially the ones who brought in their young daughters and who got so excited by everything Star Wars and who were like, oh my gosh, it's Princess Leia and everything. And it just... I'm glad to see that at least there are some parents out there who aren't insisting on this stupid gendered crap and going with what society wants us to do.
Yeah, there's so many kids that go to Star Wars weekends. And yes, there are a lot of little boys, but there are a lot of little girls too. And they, they have the Jedi Training Academy and there's always a bunch of girls in them. And a lot of times whoever is the Jedi Master of those, if you've never been to Disney, they have a show where they teach kids how to use a lightsaber, and then, oh no, Darth Vader comes out and the kids have to fight Darth Vader, and it's really adorable. And they have a Jedi Master that leads them in their training. And usually the Jedi Master will I've seen them go, oh, a female Padawan, excellent, and I noticed they don't do that much anymore because it's not an unusual occurrence anymore. There's usually a if not half, but a good amount of girls there, and they have a female Jedi Master now too, which I thought was really cool. And I think the point that we're all dancing around is that, it's not just about entertainment, it's about how we treat women in general in society. And the fact that if you're telling little boys from an early age and little girls that they shouldn't want to play with action figures of girls and they shouldn't want to wear shirts with girls on them, what are you teaching little boys and little girls about the value of women and female characters? Not very good things. You're saying Hera is one of the most important person on Rebels because it's her ship. She's the mother figure. And I think we all know she's really calling the shots, not Kanan.
Yeah.
So if you're saying that character is not important enough to have an action figure, what are you saying about awesome women in real life? Not good things.
No.
Yeah, absolutely.
Is there anything else you guys want to add before we wrap up? Closing arguments, closing statements.
Just that I'm really, really tired already of having to fight this battle. Like, it's, I think I started my article off with like being, it was January 4th, and I'm already tired. Like, can we just not do this anymore? I wish, I'm looking forward to the day and we don't have to write pieces like this and go, you know, where's Black Widow? Where's Gamora? Where's Hera? If in December we're yelling about where's Rey, I'm just, I quit. I'm going to just quit and quit and flip five tables.
Amy, any thoughts from you?
I want to share like a not a theory, but a thought I had about Sabine that I shared with Bria, and something that crossed my mind is I wonder if she's being included more because she's Ezra's crush. And Ezra, like, I don't know, like Ezra, I mean, Bria made the point too, you know, she's a Mando, so, you know, she has cool armor and people like Boba Fett, for whatever reason. And it's a different rant. But, you know, for the boys that they're targeting this show at, Ezra's their character. Like, I feel like they maybe see him as the main character because he's the one who's learning how to become a Jedi. He's the one who kind of, you know, made his entrance into this whole world where the Rebel Alliance is starting, and they kind of see through his eyes. So it made me wonder if that was why she's featured. Because often when she is featured, not often, that's not accurate, but sometimes what I've noticed, or half the time, it's with Ezra. Like, it's just her, Ezra, and maybe Chopper. So
that's a good point.
It could just be because they're the youngest ones, too, I guess.
Boy, I'd certainly hope that isn't the case, but if I'm getting into the mind of a marketer, which is a very terrible place to be, yeah, that seems like the kind of logic they'd go with.
Yeah. And to just as a final statement, I wanted to emphasize what Bria said. We don't like harping on this stuff all the time. You know, we're not looking for things to pick at when it comes to, you know, diversity and representation. It's just there. And once you start seeing it, it's really hard not to see it anymore. So we will stop harping on it when they don't exclude female characters from merchandise anymore.
And it's also important to keep in mind that when we blow up about these things, it's never in a vacuum. It's a long continuum of crap that doesn't get fixed, which is why we get pissed off.
Yep.
And I'm only partially kidding. I debate, you know, writing a Where's Hera satirical article right now and posting it this week.
Yeah. And this, by the time this podcast airs, this will not really be a spoiler, but Hera is really freaking awesome in Idiot's Array. And I am really glad that they did not have her wear something completely inappropriate. And I think that shows that at least when it comes to the creators and the writing, we've come a long way in Star Wars. So thank you for that.
Yes.
Okay, before we say goodbye, hey, Amy, where can we find you online?
You can keep up with me on Twitter at Amy_Geek, and I write for the StarWars.com blog a lot about fandom, so you can keep an eye out for those posts.
Excellent. And Bria?
As always, you can find me on Tashi Station, or I am on Twitter at ChaosBria, or my geek fashion blog, WhiteHotRoom.com.
Excellent. All right. Thanks for coming on today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye, guys.
Thanks again to Bria and Amy for coming on and talking Where's Hera with us, but we're not done with Cammy's concerns yet.
Nope.
No, because we got a little more this week that we need to rant about. Nancy, would you like to bring us up to speed?
Yes. So there was I don't even know what it was. I think it was a brochure that was handed out at UK Toy Fair.
It was kind of a solicitation.
Yeah, so it was basically saying, hey, this is, you know, Episode 7, Star Wars The Force Awakens, and this is all the marketing points about the movie, and this is who's in it, and what's it about, and, you know, why is it appealing to people, and what is our approach going to be? And then it had merchandise target, boys, 5 to 12 years old. And then the second bullet was parents and gift givers.
So they can get it for boys, 5 to 12 years old.
And people got angry about this. I was one of them. You were one of them. Because once again, in the official Disney information about how to promote your Star Wars movie, you are excluding half of the population.
What was it, Disney here, or was it Hasbro?
I don't know who it was.
Well, even if it was Hasbro, Disney can say, don't do that, and they won't do that.
The point is that Disney considers it to be their boy franchise anyway. Bob Iger has said so, and you know, whether or not anyone else will say so, that's the implication.
The stuff they've said and the actions they've put out there speak way louder than any lip service given to, yes, our female fans matter.
And not even just the female fans. And I made this point on Twitter that grown males should be angry about this too, because you're pigeonholing Star Wars for kids, for boys, 5 to 12 years old. And that is so ancient thinking. Like, it's like the people who say comic books are for kids, or cartoons are for kids, or video games are for kids. These things are not for kids anymore. You know, Star Wars never was just for kids. It was always appealing to everyone. You know, there's cartoons for adults now. There's video games for adults. There's Star Wars for adults, and there's Star Wars for kids. Even in that flyer that they handed out about The Force Awakens, one of the things that they said, why is Star Wars great? Multi-generational. So obviously, they're, you know, it's a movie grandma and grandpa can take their grandkids to, you know, fun for the whole family.
Except I don't know if the marketers actually want grandma and the girls there.
Yeah, but so not only are you excluding women, but you're also excluding everyone over 12 years old, which is stupid because you can't have a worldwide box office grossing movie like that. And also, I don't think the kids are the ones who buy the toys anymore. I really don't. Like, especially when it comes to Star Wars, the collectors are the people who buy all their stuff. You know, there are people who will buy every single action figure you release because they want to collect it. And then there are some people who are, you know, casual fans, and they're just like, hey, I want a BBA action figure because that droid is awesome. You know, the little kids aren't going to the store and buying themselves action figures. Their parents are. They're not going to the store and buying the toys. Their parents are. But people with jobs and with money, they want to buy things. I remember when Phantom Menace came out and I was 18 and I had my own money and I can go and buy action figures whenever I wanted to. And it was amazing. So I don't understand why they continuously want to narrowly focus merchandise for boys 5 to 12 years old. Because like we talked about with Bria and Amy, the adults are the people who buy things. Women buy things. Women buy a lot of things. I cannot tell you how much money I've spent on Her Universe clothes. I'm now starting to want to decorate my house in Disney stuff because every time I go there, I'm like, oh, look, it's Haunted Mansion placemats. And I'm sure that when they start coming out with Star Wars, I mean, just look at Christmas. Look at how much house stuff I got for Christmas. I got the R2-D2 timer. I got the R2-D2 measuring cups. You know, kids aren't going to buy this. Adults are. I don't see why you can't spread the love when it comes to marketing. That's my rant. I mean, there's more, but I'm going to shut up so you can talk now.
Well, you said so much of what I wanted to say.
Sorry.
Gosh. You cannot, with a straight face, tell a female fan to just be patient anymore.
Nope.
I mean, look at this flyer. Look at all of the action since the Disney sale. I mean, women and girls aren't even on the marketer's radar.
Yeah.
They don't care. Mm-hmm. They do not care about the female fans.
Yeah.
And it's frustrating. It's infuriating.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, they're there. They're there screaming, listen to us. We're right here. We're a market for you. And they're just being willfully ignored.
Yep. And there's, you know, there's one thing to say, okay, well, they need a marketing strategy. Okay. Yeah, they do. And you market different things to different people. I get it. I understand how that works. However, like, you can market things to 5 to 12 year old boys. You can market things to adults. The thing that pisses me off is it says 5 to 12 year old boys, not 5 to 12 year old kids. I mean, if you want to be fair, say, okay, this is for a toy fair. They're going to be concentrating on kids. Okay, great. There's no reason why it should only say boys.
I mean, because
that's where it starts. When you're 5 years old and your mom doesn't want to buy you a Star Wars toy because it says for boys.
These marketers have this just line in the sand that they will not cross.
No.
It's either for boys or it's for girls, and they just refuse. They refuse to come to terms with the fact that that line doesn't need to be there.
Yeah. And
make the toys, make them, mm-hmm. and show the commercials with girls and boys playing with them.
Mm-hmm. I get mad because not only is it because I feel even more than a adult male, I feel excluded because I started liking Star Wars when I was 11 years old and I got really into it. And so I asked for action figures, and they were starting to come out with some more action figures then. And I got some for Christmas, and then I started to buy my own, and I started to, like, grow my collection. And, I mean, if I had started to like Star Wars then, and I had heard them be like, oh, no, Star Wars is for boys, and, you know, seen all the commercials, it's just boys. I mean, I might have started to think, well, okay, maybe this isn't the place for me. And
you're losing a generation of fans. Mm-hmm. An entire gender and generation worth of fans by marketing like this.
Let's and story time. So I became a Star Wars fan when I was in middle school, and as I grew up and, you know, I became known in high school as the Star Wars girl. Because I liked Star Wars, and people would come to me with their Star Wars questions, and they're like, they're making new movies, what are they about? And I would, you know, they would ask me all the questions and everything, but it still was weird that I was a girl that liked Star Wars. That's why I was the Star Wars girl, because it was a novelty. And I had a few friends that really respected the fact that I could kick their butt in Star Wars trivia. But everyone else, I'm sure, thought it was weird because I liked Star Wars and girls don't like Star Wars. And it wasn't until I found the internet that I realized, no, I'm not weird. I'm normal. And sure most women have that same.
And yeah, here's the other terrible thing. The girls who do manage to get past all of these roadblocks that are being artificially set up are now, they're set up for being this weird other once mm-hmm. they've gotten past whatever fandom markers that have been thrown up in front of them.
Yeah.
Because from the beginning, it's being marketed as it. They're being told that it's not for them. They're telling boys that girls shouldn't be here. That girls don't belong to this thing that you like, that they also like.
And that's why...
It's horrible.
That's why you get things of people saying, where were girls like you when I was in high school? And they're like, they were probably there, you just didn't notice them. Or they just didn't want to say that they liked Star Wars because they were going to get made fun of or teased. I was lucky because the person who got me into Star Wars was a girl, and we became friends at space camp of all places, and she got me into Star Wars. I mean, I had seen the first movie, but if I hadn't gone to space camp, I probably wouldn't have, like, she probably wouldn't have been there to tell me all about it, because I noticed her reading Heir to the Empire on her bunk, and I was like, hey, you're reading a Star Wars book. I'm going to talk to you about it. But anyway, point being, so I saw another girl liking Star Wars, so immediately I was like, okay, cool. Other than that, I really had not many friends in high school that liked Star Wars. Like, it was a few boys. Some of the girls were okay with it. It wasn't until I got to college that I was like, I met a couple of friends, one of whom is still one of my best friends, and I went and talked to her in English class because she was wearing a Star Wars shirt. And I was like, hey, you like Star Wars? Let's talk about Star Wars. But, I mean, if you don't have that sort of interaction at an early age, you're going to think you're weird. You're going to think you're a freak, and then you're going to walk away from fandom. I mean, look at all the women who have quit, like, making video games and left that whole area because they're treated like crap. And no, Star Wars is not like that. Star Wars is extremely inclusionary. It's a fandom. And, you know, the creators. I mean, Mary Franklin runs Celebration, so we don't have to worry about that.
But there's no getting around that female fans are still second-class fans in this fandom.
Yes.
And that it kills me. I mean, how do you take it seriously when an executive or someone from Disney or someone from Lucasfilm says the female fans matter, when you've got the casting controversy, you've got the character reveals, you've got the Rebels toys.
You've got the fact that Ashley Eckstein had to fight tooth and nail to prove that her universe was a concept that could survive. And barely had like 5 t-shirts when they came out at Celebration the first time. And now, 2 celebrations later at Celebration 7, they're probably going to have a humongous booth and do bankroll stuff there.
But there's just been so many things where it's clear that the female fan isn't as important as the male fan to whoever is in charge of these choices.
And you still have the whole stereotype that the women who go to Celebration and conventions and Star Wars weekends are there for their husbands and their sons or their kids. Sometimes people will say their kids, which is nice, but usually it's for, oh, you're coming here with your husband. That's great. It's like, no, I'm here for me. I mean, I'm sure there are women who go with their husbands, and that's great. But generally, most women are there because they want to be there. I mean, you were at the last Celebration. It's 50-50, at least.
Yeah.
Split men and women.
Well, and a really unfortunate sentiment I was seeing a lot this week was a lot of female fans just throwing their hands up in the air and saying, fine, I get it, you don't think I matter.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I feel that all the time. But I still like Star Wars. But I'm just like, do you not want me to like Star Wars? Because I can go spend my money on something else.
It just hurts every time I see it, and it's just happening with more and more frequency that you're watching as these female fans finally hit this breaking point where they're tired. Mm-hmm. They've had it.
And the reason we keep harping on it is because people like stuff like this keeps happening. And then people make arguments like, well, I'm a girl and I like Star Wars and I like dinosaurs and I like sports and I don't care what I'm supposed to like. I'm just going to like what I like. But and that's fantastic.
That is great. But for every one person like that are another 20 female fans that got turned away at the door.
Or there's a parent who won't buy their kid anything outside of the proper toy aisle for their gender. Or, you know, there's a kid who just wants to like Star Wars and then gets bullied because she has a Star Wars water bottle.
I mean, I'm just tired of it. I'm tired of seeing so much sadness and resentment and anger and just folks giving up because of stuff like this where marketing and whatever forces are there are, it's not even passive aggressively now, it's overt. Mm-hmm. It's explicit, saying that you don't matter. Mm-hmm. We don't want you here. I mean, get one of the, I feel like if you get one of those marketers off the record, they'd say, yeah, we don't want girls within 30 yards of Star Wars. We don't want them here. We're afraid they might scare off the boys.
Mm-hmm.
And if you think that girls liking Star Wars is going to scare off a statistically sizable part of your boy fan base, I mean, all I can say is, wow, that's a whole lot of projection.
Yeah.
And you're out of touch.
Yeah.
You are terribly out of touch.
For every one boy who thinks that girls have cooties and will stop liking something because a girl likes it, there's another handful of boys who will see a girl, especially an older girl, liking something and think, or some liking something that they like and be like, wow, she's awesome. Like my friend, the girl who I'm still friends with from college, she has a nephew who loves Star Wars and he thinks that she is just the coolest person ever because she also likes Star Wars.
I know that there's no one in marketing listening to this podcast, nor would ever listen to this podcast, but mm-hmm. my plea to you is just recognize that you're losing. Mm-hmm. You're losing people. You're losing fans.
And here's another thing. If it's so ingrained in your mind that you have to market things to boys, then also market things to girls. Because you are missing out on, I mean, if you just want to look at it from a pure, cold-hearted business standpoint, you're missing out on half the money. Because for every toy you can market to a boy, there's another toy you can market to a girl.
I mean, if the reason you're not doing this is because you might lose boy fans, then I seriously take issue with how you evaluate and process your opportunity costs.
Especially when it comes to little kids. Like, there's really no excuse to gender things like Star Wars when it for toys and like little kids, you don't have to worry about like, oh, their cut of their bodies is different. Like the reason her universe was, you know, everyone clamored for it was because girls like me were stuck buying shirts in the boys section. And finally a shirt came along that could fit your curves. It's, you know, like, thank God a shirt made for my body. But little girls don't, and boys don't have that problem. So you can make a Star Wars shirt for a girl and for a boy. You know, you can make Star Wars shoes that fit boys and girls. And then, you know, like action figures can be boys or girls. You could also have like the handmaiden dolls are probably marketed more towards girls. But you know what? That's fine. They probably bought them. And then you know, if you want to say, oh, well, let's have this, you know, spaceship marketed towards a boy. Okay, whatever. But girls are going to want to play with it, too. So just don't have it be blue and pink. Have it be yellow or green like a lightsaber.
I mean, if it sounds like I am angry and sad right now, it's because I am.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this hurts to watch. I'm sick of seeing my female friends just despondent over how marketing treats them.
Mm-hmm.
That their fandom is second class. I'm sick of seeing young girls turned away at the gates. It tears my heart out to see this happening.
And we've both said numerous times that, you know, your sister is now 12 years old and a huge nerd, and it's fabulous, and I love it, and I dread the day when she finally cracks and stops liking the things that she likes because people make fun of her. I'm hoping that day never comes, and I really hope it doesn't, because she's really awesome and doesn't care what people think of her. But not all girls are like that. Girls crack, especially in middle school, and they want people to like them, and they want to be popular. And I just want them to be able to like what they like and be what they want to be and not care and not have, you know, people say, well, Star Wars is for boys.
And this marketing is first wave gatekeeping.
Mm-hmm.
This is the first wave to keep people out. And I love this fandom, but it's hard to see what it does to people sometimes. And it's just happened too much. It's happened too much. There's been too much of a disregard for female fans. There's been too much pretending like they don't exist and too much pretending like they don't matter from marketing. And the lip service doesn't cut it anymore. The actions are speaking so much louder than any person from Lucasfilm or Disney saying that the female fans matter. I mean, I know that people there value the female fans. I know that they think that the female fans are really important, but the stuff that is so, that's right in your face.
Mm-hmm.
The marketing, the toys, the shows, the reveals, the characters. All of that just screams, we don't want women there. We don't want girls there. And you may have different intentions and different feelings when you're in the creative side at Disney and Lucasfilm, but it's getting lost in the process somewhere. I know that the crew of Rebels really values that they're female characters, and they think they're really important, but somewhere in the process, between the writing room and marketing, it's gotten lost. And fans are getting hurt in the process.
Mm-hmm.
The fans are being turned away in the process, and it's not okay. It's not acceptable anymore. And this sounds almost white knighty. I'm almost hesitant to say it, but dudes listening to this podcast, the marketers aren't listening to the women who are shouting at them, who are right there outside the door saying, we're here, listen to us. Guys, you've got to step up too. You've got to say that this isn't okay. It can't just be the female fans who have managed to withstand wave after wave of abuse from marketers. You guys got to stand up, too, and say this isn't okay. They're fans, too. They matter.
Mm-hmm. That's why I hate the whole mentality when guys are like, oh, man, I wish my wife liked Star Wars. And I understand that there are surely relationships where the significant other does not like Star Wars, and that's fine. But that whole idea is perpetuating the myth that women don't like Star Wars and that the ones who do are magical unicorns, and that's not true.
They're not. They're there in abundance.
Yeah.
but until marketing acknowledges they exist, I don't see it's going to be hard to fix this perception.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to stop ranting there because I'm sad enough for one podcast.
See, you're sad. I'm just angry.
I went the circle from bemused to angry to now just sad and depressed.
Oh, no. See, that's a thing. That's the secret, Cap. You always have to be angry because you can channel your rage into righteous indignation and therefore get shit done. I don't let myself get sad anymore because whatever. They can say I'm not supposed to like Star Wars and I'll shove my action figures where the sun don't shine.
You went there.
I did.
All right. What do you say we wrap it up? We're at an hour and a half.
Sounds good to me.
Okay. Well, you can help us keep the lights on the show by checking out our sponsors on the blog, HerUniverse and Audible.com. Check out the links on the blog, Tashi-Station.net. Helps us keep things going. On Twitter, you can find us with the handles Tashi_Station. That's the official show account. You can find Nancy with Nancy Pants. That's Nancy with an I. You can find me with Lane Winry, LaneWinree. On Facebook, we are the Tashi Station Network. You can find us on the iTunes Store and Stitcher. If you like what you hear, please do leave a review. It does help us grow the show. You can find our columns and news at Tashi-Station.net. Thanks for catching another episode. We will see y'all next time.
Bye-bye.
This podcast has been brought to you by Majestic Giraffe Productions and is the official podcast of TashiStation.net. All Star Wars names, music, and logos are property of their respective trademark and copyright holders. Tashi Station Radio is not endorsed by Lucasfilm or any division of the company. Now go pick up some power converters.